some stories are personal. They're not just the blend of personal and professional. They're personal. And this is one of those stories. You know, this is a story of what we as a country witnessed last June, how quickly we forget in some ways, right? We're on June 6th of this year, three generations of a family were killed in an Islamophobic terror attack in London. The Efsel family was the top of our mind, tip of our tongues, for the unspeakable loss, not just of a family of three generations, but of a reckoning that has been one too many times put on and then taken off the radar. A reckoning around hate, a reckoning around what this means to be fully immersed in this country. And I know we've got a lot of work to do on many files regarding hate and inclusion and diversity and systemic racism. But after, on the heels of that tragic attack, seeing it be, I shouldn't even say painted, be unearthed in very stark, very clear terms that this was rooted in their faith, in their religion, in their identity, who they were, it's tough to swallow. I mean, as a Muslim person, as I've talked to you about in the past, as I've guest hosted, as a Muslim man sitting here in Calgary, Alberta, of course, I enjoy a tremendous sense of privilege. I get to talk to you over the national airwaves. I mean, that is incredible privilege for someone in my position, so to speak. You know, you get to hear my takes, you get to hear what I'm all about, but there's so many that don't have a platform, that we don't hear from, that are marginalized, that are put on the fringes of society. So on the heels of that attack, the National Council of Canadian Muslims are now trying to hold the feet to the fire of our decision makers, of our politicians. They're encouraging immediate and urgent action with the Our London Family Act that they're proposing to the government of Ontario. And joining me on the line is Mustafa Farouk, CEO of the National Council of Canadian Muslims. Mustafa, how are you?
I'm doing so well. Thank you so much, Zane, for having me on.
You know, Mustafa, last time we chatted on air, and I know we've chatted off air a few times in between, was around August, where we were talking about, you know, your organization putting out a suite of recommendations after an Islamophobia summit. Give me a perspective. Where do things kind of currently stand between July and August after those summits that our federal government put on just before we headed into an election to now? Has there been any groundswell? Has there been a shift? What is the sort of tone and tenor of the conversation as it finds itself right now?
So I think, Zane, I think we've seen some changes and others, I think, you know, but I think, you know, overwhelmingly, it's far too little. And so, for example, we saw a commitment in the Liberal Party platform to institute many of the recommendations that came out of the Islamophobia summit. We also saw in the party platform a commitment to make sure that, you know, NCCM recommendations around things like a victim of hate support fund and a recalibration of the way that we deal with hate crime legislation in this country are dealt with. But we also saw other cities, municipalities, and provinces step up. The governments of British Columbia, for example, committed to building anti-Islamophobia strategies in their education system. The city of Edmonton took a bold step by, you know, passing legislation to deal with the challenges of street harassment in the city of Edmonton. So I think the reality is that, and you know, the city of St. Catharines just passed a motion bringing forward all of the NCCM municipal recommendations. And so I think there are changes. They're afoot, but it's, you know, the reality is that it's taking far too long. And the reason it's taking far too long is that we simply know that it's a matter of time before somebody else gets hurt.
Yeah. And you know, let me stick with just that and our federal leaders for a second before I go to the, you know, Our London Family Act that you're pushing for provincially. How was this federal election from your perspective in terms of what you saw the political parties present? You know, when we talked to several indigenous groups during the election, we learned from them that, you know, certain parties for them would have been a liability on reconciliation and the progress we've made. From your perspective of hate-based sort of violence, from systemic racism, from Islamophobia, from anti-Muslim racism, what did you kind of see? What glimpses did you see during this federal election in terms of the commitment and the veracity of that commitment by our political leaders across the country?
Well, I mean, it's probably, I mean, Zane, you know, it's probably a lot to unpack. And, you know, people like you and others have been unpacking that kind of question for some time. I think there's sort of two big takeaways for me. One was, I think, the refusal of many of our political party leaders to really confront the question of hate and systemic racism as a major election policy piece. Obviously, you know, COVID is top of mind for many, but I also think it's impossible to not take into account that, you know, this summer of 2020 and then right in the aftermath of the London attack, there was a conversation that millions of Canadians were speaking up about systemic racism, and the fact that our political leaders didn't, you know, lead boldly on those as major election points was saddening. And, you know, we're hoping that now as session resumes at the House of Commons, that those are top of mind, and making sure that we are instituting change is top of mind. But the second,
go ahead.
Sorry. No, I was just going to say quickly that the second thing that was very disappointing was the way in the cowardice of all of our, you know, major political parties on Bill 21, which to us is institutionalized discrimination in Canada.
I'm right there with you on both of those points, especially Bill 21. Just the Quebec asking you to jump and every party saying how high with blinders on has been deeply disappointing. But talk to me, you know, with the couple of minutes that we have left, about the act that you're pushing for, right? The provincial government saying, listen, we've made nearly $10 million in new and enhanced initiatives to help address systemic racism, anti-racism and anti-hate grant programs. What are you looking for in excess to what they're proposing and have already put on the table?
So I think those commitments, the financial commitments, are good and important commitments. But what we need to see is much more. When Premier Ford, when Stephen Del Duca, when Andrew Horvath came to the London Muslim Mosque at the vigil, they promised sweeping and systemic change so this never happens again. That's all we're looking for. We're looking for promises to be made and promises to be kept. And so what we're looking for are simple things, things like making sure that, you know, young people grow up with an appreciation of how to look and deal with sources that are Islamophobic. So that when they see things on Fox News, they're able to analyze and provide a nuanced perspective of what that actually looks like and how to break those things down. We're looking to make sure that, you know, there's a better way of dealing with hate crime units in the province of Ontario. We're looking to make sure that there is a real strategy for things like public service announcements that provide clear perspectives and nuanced perspectives about the diversity of the Canadian Muslim experience. These are common sense kinds of proposals that you know, we've been engaging with governments on. And frankly, I think every person in Ontario needs to pick up the phone, talk to their local elected official, and say, "Hey, you know, we know that you all made promises about this. Let's see folks deliver." And in other jurisdictions, other provinces as well, I think the Our London Family Act provides a piece of model legislation that could be adopted with, of course, some slight changes as well.
Mustafa Farouk, CEO of the National Council of Canadian Muslims, thank you for your work. Thank you for your advocacy. I'm wishing you nothing but the greatest success to try to get this very important piece of legislation passed and through.
Zane, it's so kind of you. Thank you so much.